God, is he not? And, you know, God is, as I said a couple of weeks ago, and as I'm saying now to you, if you haven't seen it already, if you don't know, that we do things a little different than most churches. We just don't tell you to when you can and when you cannot come down to the altar, and when's the best time. When the best time is when God moves you to come down to the altar. If God has moved you, you don't even have to come down to an altar. If you don't want to be out in front of everybody, if you just grab somebody's hand, they'll take you and go out there. If you want somebody to pray with you somewhere not in front of God and everybody, and you certainly have that freedom here in United Community Church. God is doing some things down here, okay? God has done some things this morning. Don't have to put it in the future tense, because God has done things. We have prayed that God is going to, bring healing. And you know, the thing, sing the song earlier, that he is a healer. He is a healer in more than just the physical nature, as far as, you know, you have a broken bone or you have cancer or things of that nature. He is a healer of the emotional and of the spiritual as well. This morning, you know, I'm not going to make any mistake about it, make no secret that the past couple of weeks have been rough, okay, for us here in the church, for things that have gone on, news of, you know, illnesses and people in and out of the hospitals, things going on in people's personal lives and the church, things going on in my life on a personal level that, you know, not everybody knows things about. Some people do. and then, you know, this week, it is never. I know that we rejoice because people go home to be with God, but you know where that still hurts here. You know that. And it was not a great week, I know, for me. I know it wasn't for anybody else. But, you know, things, when things happen like they have, we begin to sometimes, as human beings, ask, why? Why? We want to know the why behind the what. Why is this happening? You know, why did this happen here? Why did this cancer diagnosis come? Why did this person have that? Or why is this marriage failing? Or why is this relationship breaking down? And you begin to ask all those questions. Why? Because we as human beings are problem-solving types of folks, and we want to know the answers. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that we just simply can't understand everything. It's not within the capacity of our brains to understand everything that happens all of the time. No amount of Bible quoting, no amount of words that you can say sometimes can console somebody that is going through something. You can quote every scripture that there is in the Bible, but, you know, we have to get to a personal level when we get to the point where we can just say, you know what, I'm going to let go and let God. Okay, and that's the title of the sermon this morning, to let go and let God, trusting God even when we don't understand. Okay, to trust God even when you don't understand. The Bible is riddled with people all throughout the scriptures who didn't understand, who didn't understand. Do you think that the disciples, when Jesus come up to them and he said, hey, come and follow me, that they understood what they were just getting themselves into? What did they do? They dropped it. I mean, fishing out there, they dropped it. They left and they were gone. And they trusted God. And trusted Jesus for what he was doing in their life. I want us to turn to John chapter 13, starting in the 31st verse, and we're going to end in John 14, verse 1. So John chapter 13, verses 31 through 38, but adding John 14, 1 as well. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I want to bring out some things here, and it's a pretty impactful passage of Scripture for me because I play this part in the play. It says, when he was gone, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. And a new command I give you, love one another. as I have loved you, so that you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And you know, as I sit there, and I don't know what Wilma was thinking when she cast me as Peter, but me and Peter are so much alike. Not in a good way all the time. I mean to say, I'm not saying, oh, he's a disciple, but he was in the inner circle. That's not what I'm talking about. Peter, and you know, he's sitting there. Peter wanted to understand what was going on. Peter wanted to understand, well, what are you talking about? I mean, they're in their mindset, he is the Messiah. And he's telling them he's fixing to be leaving. He's going somewhere. And that's why when you watch, if we do it correctly during the play, the faces of the disciples are in disbelief at what's going on right now. What do you mean? That there's going to be the shedding of blood? And you're supposed to, what? The shedding of blood? Their blood, not his blood. You know, that's what they should be thinking. And Peter, he's, but why can't I come with you now? I'd be willing to die for you. Why? 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 And that's why I added John 14, verse 1, because this is the only thing we have to worry about. Do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Do you know at this point in time with the disciples, if Peter would have had his way right here, Jesus would have never given his life on the cross of Calvary. If Peter had said, you know what, no, God, no, Jesus, this is, you don't need to do what you're wanting to do. Do what I think is the best. Do what Peter thinks is the best. Do what the disciples think is the best. And Jesus Christ would have never given his life to be a ransom for every one of us that's in this place today. That goes to show you that when, just because you don't understand, and I posted this on Facebook in reference to Doretha's passing, I said, you know what, because I didn't understand it. But you know what, we still have to trust. We still had to trust. You are going through something in your life, and everybody's going through something in your life right now, whether it's a financial hardship or relationships that we talked about last Sunday that are broken down in your home, and you don't understand why something is going on in your life, and you get down there with God, and you're questioning him, and you're going, why this? Why that? It should have happened this way, God. Anybody ever looked in hindsight and seen that God was wrong? Not me. Before, in the present, when it's going on, you think God's wrong. You say, you blame him. You point your finger and you wag it in his face and you say, God, how dare you have done what you've done right here in this situation? How dare you be leaving us, Peter is saying, and going and shedding of blood and all of these things. But Peter didn't understand what was to come. And what was to come was so beautiful. God's mighty plan was so beautiful. And hindsight is 20/20 with us when it's God. But it's getting to that place where we can trust God to get to that point.
May I say something about that?
Go ahead. Go ahead. Amen. I think it's human nature for us to ask why. I think it's human nature for us to go, why? And it's okay. I tell people all the time, especially people who are trying to understand religion and understand faith, and they ask, well, why and what and all this. It's okay to ask questions, but at the end of the day, you have to understand what Isaiah 55 verse 9 says. And it says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The Bible is telling us, and that's not on the screen, but Isaiah is quoting what God is telling us, that God's ways are so much higher than ours. His thought process is so much higher than our thought process. And there's not an ounce of time that if in the moment or afterwards that I want God to go back and redo something that he's already done. But I don't know. I cannot tell you. If I had a penny, I'm going low, not even a dollar, a penny for every time that in the moment that I was looking at God telling him that, oh, no, I disagree with you about this. You're going wrong. If I had a penny, yeah, Bill Gates would not be one of the richest people in the world. Anybody ever question God like that? Anybody willing to admit it? If you didn't raise your hand, you either didn't because you just didn't want to raise your hand, or you really are in denial, because I'm sure there's a time in your life that you look back and said, this shouldn't have been this way. But John 14, verse 1, do not let your hearts be troubled. He just said, trust in him. Trust in him. Now, that's difficult. It's difficult, isn't it, Edie, to trust in God that way? It's difficult just to lay it down and say, God, you know what? I see my child hurting. I see my child going through something. And it's difficult just to say, there's nothing I can do. So I got to trust in God. I tell you, I had an experience like that on Tuesday, because I was fit to be tied Tuesday whenever I got the phone call about the roof, because I am 3.5 hours away in Tallahassee, Florida, knowing that there's not a thing I can do. And I didn't go to bed till about 3:30 in the morning, because I was sitting there going back and forth, well, I can go and I can do this. And do you know what it feels like as a pastor to have to sit back and say, there is nothing that I can do? That ain't a fun feeling at all. But you know, I had to sit back and I had to trust. I had to trust in God. I had to trust in the deacons. And not the deacons here, some wonderful. And everybody else ain't wonderful too, but ain't we got some good deacons in here? I think so, because they all stepped up, and appreciate what Earl, especially what Earl has been doing, being there on the ground and taking things. But I had to just trust. I had to just say, okay, it's going to be handled. It's going to be good. That was difficult for me to do that. And it's the same thing that we do each and every day in our life when you got something that's going on. And it's difficult for us to just, I said the other day that the hardest sacrifice for us to make is our faith. To lay it down and say, God, it's just in your hands. But I'm going to tell you this morning that hindsight is 20/20, and God has given you a past. I preach that sermon and I remind you of it often, that God gave you a past so that you could have a little bit easier time giving him faith for your future, because he's shown you what he's going to do for you. He has shown you that you can't think of a time that he was wrong. And so let's not, when we're in these situations, and hey, I'm preaching to myself, okay? James is going to record it, and I'm going to listen to it again, all right? I'm preaching to myself, and I'm going to try to, in those moments, that when we're just crazy and worrying about stuff, as Matthew chapter 6 is talking to us about, when you're worrying so crazily about these things, let's just look ahead, get to the hindsight is 20/20 part of the equation quicker, because you're going to get there anyway. And don't worry about tomorrow. The Bible tells us for tomorrow, will worry about itself, but worry about today, because today has enough problems of its own. But we go through these things, and we look to God, and we're just worrying, God, are you? We're basically, the questions that you're asking God is, are you powerful enough to heal the person that I'm praying for, or the person that's in my life, my family? When you question God and you say, you should have done it better, then what you're saying is that, no, God, this is the way. And who are we? The created? The clay telling the potter how he should have made us? How he should have done it? Oh boy, we need to understand something about God's sovereignty this morning. As uppity as we could possibly get, there is many times, there's things in the past couple of years, you know, within this church, I've said it publicly, I said, I disagreed with God about how this, and that's my right to disagree. That's your right to disagree with God. But at the end of the day, I know that God was right. In every situation that's happened, there's things going on in my personal life, things that's going on in mine and Brooke's marriage, and you look back, whether it was, if it was something that was tragic, you learned a great deal about something. God is going, Romans 8:28 is not the greatest verse of scripture to quote to somebody right when they've gone through something, right when they've got a diagnosis of cancer, and you look at them and say, for all things work for the good that those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That may not be the exact thing to say to them at that moment, because then what it sounds like you're saying is that God just gave them cancer. But isn't that verse true, though? It's very true, because all things do work for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. But I love Romans 8:37. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If we know that this morning, let's trust in him. Okay, very simple message this morning. It ain't that hard to get. It is not that hard to get it here, but it's that hard to put it out and put it into actions and how we're going to live our life each and every day. Here's the deal. There is nothing that you're going through this morning that God cannot handle. He is not. There's nothing that you're going through that he's too small to handle. There's nothing that you're going through that he don't want to handle. Unless it's something that you just don't, you're not willing to do. I tell you, God will do everything that you cannot do, but he won't do anything that you just simply will not do. Okay? He's not going to come in there and just drag you to an altar or drag you to him. He's done everything he can possibly have done for you. And not only, let's just, I know this sounds bad, but sit it aside for just a moment, the fact that he died on the cross, okay, because I mean that's everything that we talk about. But God has done, he even went further than that. That every day of your life, he is active in your life. That was a past thing that translates all the way into the future. I understand that. But even outside of him dying, we ask, what more can he do? What more can he do is he plays tug of war with you every day. He shows you every day. You're going through something, and he gives you this revelation that I'm still here. I'm still going to take care of you. He never lets you forget that. He's every day putting things in your life that should make it easy for us to trust him. Anybody in here that can explain to me why we should ever have a problem with trusting God? We do. Help me out so I can understand why I feel like that sometimes. I can't understand it, but we do. It is human nature, Harry. It is. That's why we are in the world, but we're not supposed to be of the world. But God, but we can't look. Even though sometimes, you know, I don't understand, but it's just like this week, I looked at God and I said, I don't know why you got me down here in Tallahassee like this right now. I said, but you must have a plan. You must. Because if you don't, then I'm in a bigger mess than I thought I was in, okay? So God has molded me into that point in time to where even though when we don't understand, we still must trust in him. And that sure has made my life a lot easier. And this is something new God's given me because you know what? I'm that type of person when it comes like to my mama and the things that are going on with her. I'm just out there. I'm fixing things. I'm going. And I just have to step back and say, here you go, God. This is yours. Just take it. Ooh, that is not within my nature to do those types of things. But what happens is we run ourselves ragged, trying to fix things we have no power to fix if we'll only just let the one who has all the power to fix it, fix it. Just start out with that today. If you got something that you're going on in your life today and you hadn't already come down to the altars are open for you. Let go. That's what Jesus was telling them today. In John chapter 14, verse 1, he said, you got to let go. And you got to let me do what I do. But see, we just hold on. We hold on to these situations. We come, we pray at altars, and we supposedly let them go, but we pick them up and we put them back in our pocket and we carry them back with us. And God's going, when he goes down to this altar to find what you put down there so he can fix it, he realizes that it's not there anymore, that you've taken it and walked with it. He's not going to chase you down to get it back from you. You got to come back down, not down to an altar. You can do it right where you're sitting, but you just got to leave it there. Let it go, because that's not trusting God. That's like saying that I'm going to trust Eleanor with $100, and I give her, if I had one, I would do this demonstration, but I'm broke like that. So. But I trust her with that $100, but it's like, I'm not going to let her let it go. I'm not going to let her pull it out of my hand. Then she snatches it like, God won't do that. Okay? God's not going to snatch it out like that. But that's what you do every day with God when you don't let go of these situations that are going in your life. Is you say, here, God, I want you to have it. I want you to have it. I want you to have it. But when he's like, well, give it to me. And you're going, I don't know that I can. As long as you hold it, it ain't going to be nothing that he can do about it. As long as you hold it. And you got something today that you're holding on to, okay? Let it go. It's going to kill you tonight, but you'll feel so much freer when you look back and you can see that God's hand was all in that. And that at the end of the day, he took a situation that was the sorriest thing you had ever seen in your life, and he made it the beautifulest thing. You think that crucifixion is the ugliest, worst form of death that man has ever come up with. But God turned that around to us as something beautiful and magnificent in our life. When you put God in the mix of even the most horrible, wretched thing that you can ever think that it is, God can turn that around into something that is powerful. You can do that today if you just let go. Very simple. Remember, let go and let God. Your prayer is, God, I'm going to let go of it. I'm going to let go. Because you know what? But see, the thing is that we got to get past. Like me, you got to get past it. You have to say to yourself, there's nothing that I can do. You got to get past that pride of thinking that you are the one that can solve those problems. You got to get past that pride level, even when it's your child, even when it's your mother, even when it's a church member or somebody closer, even when it's your spouse or whatever that's going on. You just got to realize there is nothing I can do except submit it to God. And that's the best thing that you can do. If you'll stand with me this morning. And I want us to, God has been, no doubt God has been here this morning. God is taking care of things at this altar. He has began processes of healing at this altar this morning. He's done that with people that are sitting out here in the pews. And I still know that, you know, you had that spirit of discernment. I still know there's people. There's lots of people out here that you've got things that you just got to let go. I can't come out there and grab it from you. I can't make it. I can just tell you. I'm so glad that Peter didn't get what he wanted. I'm so glad that the lady with the issue of blood, for all those years, she went to those doctors, and finally one day she realized, the doctors can't do it. I can't do it. But if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She didn't get healed because she touched the hem of his garment now. He said, woman, thy faith has made you whole. Because she let go and let God. Let's pray. Father God, I just praise you this morning that you give us grace and you give us mercy beyond compare. Father, we can't find it anywhere. We can't find it with our family members. Father God, we can't find the love that you bestow upon us in even our mothers or fathers or grandparents, because you love us in such a way that even when we are just bound by everything that's going on in our lives, even when we look at you and we don't trust you, God, we know that you love us so much that you will sit there and that you will play tug of war with us. You will help us and to do things in our life that constantly remind us that we should be able to trust you, that we can trust you, that you are going to do what's ultimately in the best interest of each and every one of your children. And Father God, I know that there are people within the sound of my voice this morning that need to let something go this morning, Father God. I know that that's true. And Father God, there are things that in my life that I've got to let go. And Father, I thank you that you have helped me, Father God, as I've just went into your word, Father God, to just release the things, to just give them to you, God. And I praise you that I was able to do that, and that, Father God, that you have shown me that you can handle a lot better than I can. And Father God, I just pray that there are people that are in this room this morning that are going to do that same thing, Father, that they're going to come to that realization that we as finite human beings cannot handle these things that are going on in our life without your help. Your word tells us that we can do all things, but it only tells us we can do all things with your strength, with the strength that you give us, with the strength that we can ask you for. And Father, I'm just asking that you will help us all this morning, that you will help us to walk in your strength, to walk in your ways, Father God, and to be able to look back in hindsight and give you praise and honor because you could do everything that we were not able to do. And we just thank you for that. And as we go our separate ways this morning, lead us and guide us and direct us and help us to, when we go into our spheres of influence, whether it's where we're going to be eating or back to our homes, that we will just share your love and your Holy Spirit with this entire world, and that we will help to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.